So what we're seeing today is kind of an abomination to what we how we started, where God is completely out of the picture. He's not welcome in our schools. Kids get in trouble for having a Bible in our schools. It's amazing. I'm telling you. And we're asleep to it. So we've been given much, therefore much is required. So I'm going to briefly cover some of the issues we have. One of them, I'm convinced, is a lack of a death penalty for many of our states. And I know you might think this is political. It is not. The command we received in Genesis chapter 9, this is the command to Noah, that the nations that we're going to pick up after the flood, you know, so this is, he only says very little in Genesis 9. The instruction he gives to Noah and his son to start the new earth, basically, and this is just a glimpse of it. Genesis 9, 5 and 6, and I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. For God made human beings in his own image. So he has this, and then he goes on to say, be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so I want to back this up with the why. Sometimes you don't always get a why about why God says this or why God commands this. But in Numbers chapter 35, we read the why God tells us to get rid of people that kill other people. And I think this is clear, and I don't think this is unique to Israel. If you just bear with me, I'll read from Numbers 35, verses 30 through 33. All murderers must be put to death, but only if evidence is presented by more than one witness. No one may be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Also, you must never accept a ransom payment for the life of someone judged guilty of murder and subject to execution. Murderers must always be put to death, and never accept a ransom payment from someone who has fled to a city of refuge, allowing a slayer to return to his property before the death of the high priest. This will ensure that the land where you live will not be polluted, for murder pollutes the land, and no sacrifice except the execution of the murderer can purify the land from murder. So if you want to get a glimpse of why our nation is corrupt and polluted, I'm submitting to you, my friends, that we haven't been doing what we're supposed to be doing. The death penalty has been in place for many years, you know, back in our history, but somewhere in the 1900s, states started removing it. And so we stopped doing what I feel is necessary to ensure that the land where you live will not be polluted. I don't think this is an isolated case that this only applied to Israel. I think this is a truth that God is saying here, and he wanted Israel to abide by it. And it's something else we're just not listening to. So I'll go on. Lack of a death penalty, mass abortion, and we don't need to say anything about mass abortion. It's going on and on, and many people are suffering because of that. Not taking care of the homeless. So our welfare is not compassion. It's slavery. And our federal government has kept people in bondage because of welfare. I think there's a place for welfare, but the church has pretty much turned their back on needy people in many ways. So people are learning how to rely on the government, not God. So and then another thing which I find really dismaying is not taking responsibility for teaching our children. We've handed our children over to Caesar. We've given our kids, our precious gifts from God, over to a secular institution. Even before they took prayer out of the schools, do you really think it was teaching kids about how great God was? Do we really think that just because we honored God in a prayer in the morning, that kids were learning how to be disciples of Christ throughout their day? How can we learn any topic outside of the context of God? How can we learn science? How can we learn physics without God being part of that equation? I don't see that. And to me, it's been a big thing that the church has kind of like turned aside and said, okay, it's okay for you to give your kids to public institutions, to socialist propaganda camps where they don't learn their history, they don't learn how great God is, and then they come home thinking their parents are crazy because they're learning one thing on Sunday, then they're filling their minds for 5 days that God has nothing to do with anything. And this has been going on for decades. And we expect things to turn around? The church is just falling asleep, relying on our public education system to make our kids better. It's making them dumber and evil. They learn how to trust in their friends more than they do their parents. And they run away from faith. The statistics are rife with kids that turn from faith because of public education. Schools were created to teach people about God, and they've completely removed God. Examples are Yale, Harvard, Stanford. They were created to teach the goodness of God, to teach these things about theology, how great He is. And, of course, you know, you don't even want to mention God in those places these days. They've taken over. And it's not that the wicked have taken over. It's the church has given them over. Number four, our church has not been making true disciples. The focus is only on conversion, and true discipling is not taught in the seminaries. True discipling is not taught. It's all academically inclined. We talk about this many times on our calls. So that's, in a nutshell, our spiritual heritage and the reasons I say God, you know, is judging us. I think we are under His judgment, and I think it's just going to get worse.